Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Brian Koziel joining me this morning, host of Tea to Green on WGR. A stunning merger announcement yesterday. The PGA Tour, LIV Golf, and DP World Tour will unify under one large commercial business. Brian, how did this come out? I mean, it seems like a lot of people found out on Twitter.
It was stunning in the sense that there was really no heads up about this at all. It sounds like there was only a handful of people at work at this, including the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, who was a part of the announcement yesterday. Yes, player reaction to this was surprise and stunned and shocked. There was almost no knowledge of this in any capacity from the players, especially some of the players that have been so vocal in support of the PGA Tour and them in their, I guess you'd say, fight against this rival tour that had come across in LIV. So yes, I think that is a huge piece of it. Will we take a step back and sit there and say that money ultimately won out? Maybe we shouldn't be surprised, but how it was announced and how quickly it was with so few people actually with the upfront knowledge about it, that I think is what's still extremely surprising.
I mean, what about players who turned down millions to go with LIV Golf? I mean, now that it's all one happy family?
Hundreds of millions for some of these names, like Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm. I mean, there were reports that some of these players turned down like $200 million, $300 million of dollars to go over and play on that tour. And to me, I think if there's one player that stands out, it's Rory McIlroy, that I probably have to be thinking probably feels the worst about this whole thing. He stuck his neck out and tried to, he was really the voice of the PGA Tour. Yes, the commissioner was obviously the guy on top of the totem pole, but the players run the PGA Tour. It's supposed to be a player-run tour. There is an advisory board and there is a commissioner, but the players have a big voice in it. And McIlroy was very, very vocal about saying, look, you know, we're doing the right thing morally. And, you know, yes, we're turning away a lot of money, but we think in the end, this is the right thing to do, not only for golf, for its tradition, but for the sense of that there was the Saudi connection to the money. And that McIlroy thought, look, I'm standing up for what's right, even though I'm turning away oodles and oodles of cash here. I know at the end of the night, I can sleep and be happy with the decision that I made. Those are the players probably that I think today are sitting there saying, what went wrong and what did I buy into that I just got sold out on?
Right. Could this backfire in some way?
Well, probably in the sense of like the financial stability of the PGA Tour going forward, this probably helps them in the sense that now they have an investor that has tons of cash, that the PGA Tour made changes in reaction to the LIV Tour. They increased their pots. They made these elevated events. And just hearing some of the player reaction to it yesterday, there was a player meeting yesterday at 4 o'clock at the Canadian Open, not too far from here, just in Toronto. And a lot of the players came out of that saying that, you know, maybe the model that was changed to try to adapt to pay players more money maybe wasn't sustainable. And that this is why maybe the move had to be made money-wise. Trying to pay big stars in sports right now doesn't go past, you know, isn't just an NFL or an NBA thing. I mean, it's made its way to professional golf. How do you keep the biggest stars paid well enough? And I think that that was a challenge for the PGA Tour, that maybe sponsorships and other entities where money was coming in just wasn't there enough for them to be sustainable with current markets. So could this backfire? I think maybe for Jay Monahan as commissioner, because of the fact that the players ultimately may distrust him so much now that could lead to maybe his role ultimately being phased out. But I think in terms of the golf now, we're going to see more of a global approach to it, with money obviously not coming from just one source. It's going to be coming from multiple spots, including Saudi Arabia.
The PGA has always been a not-for-profit group, but, you know, as you're pointing out here, it's going to be a for-profit operation now. Does this bring any potential new problems?
Well, it could be, in the sense that they have touted, I guess they have touted themselves, Susan, so long for, you know, doing right by the game. I mean, that's kind of been a big motto for them. That was their whole motto throughout this whole battle with LIV, is that they not only are they nonprofit, they're here for, you know, for the players, reinvesting back in their players, but investing in charities and communities. And I'm not saying that that's going to end in any capacity. And in fact, you know, I think one of the things that I think that I am such a fan of golf for is that golf does so much for communities and towns across the country, with fundraisers and charities and community events. And I think that will continue. But for it to be sustainable at the level that they were looking to have to pay the players what they, I guess, were felt like they deservedly owed, maybe this is what had to happen. So could it backfire? I guess I want to hear more details. We know that they're coming together. We know that they're going to be monetarily working together. How the details play out in terms of how these players now kind of reemerge, the ones that have left, how they reemerge, or what is the path for them to reemerge. They're currently still under a suspension by the PGA Tour. How the schedule plays out, I guess, you know, as they said, they wanted to announce that this was happening. There's still a lot to work out. So could it backfire in terms of it ruining maybe what they have going so well for it right now? I mean, professional golf is as popular as it's been since Tiger Woods' heyday. I guess I would maybe hesitate to answer that at the moment until I get more details on what the changes actually are going to look like on paper.
Sure. You know, one other thing, when's the next tournament, or when are we going to see this umbrella group, you know, for real?
Yeah, well, we'll get to see. I mean, this week, the Canadian Open is a normal PGA Tour event. As I said, it's, you know, less than 2 hours away. Even if people want to go, there's going to be quite a buzz this week at Oakdale Country Club. Next week is the U.S. Open, which is in Los Angeles Country Club. And this is an event because it's a major, and it's not run by the PGA Tour. It's run by the USGA, which is the rules governing body of golf. There will be LIV players there. There will be Brooks Koepka, who just won the PGA Championship. There will be Phil Mickelson, who probably has the biggest smile of anybody, because he was the one touting all this information that he said he, quote, knew, and not well. I guess this is the information that he knew, and he's probably got the biggest smile of anybody. So all those players that jumped ship, that were saying, you know, hey, more information will come out, or hey, you should be doing this, they're all, I'm sure, going to talk next week. So next week at the U.S. Open is going to be, I think, a ton of storylines coming out. Maybe about how some of this came about.
Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Susan, thanks.
Brian Koziel, he's the host of Tea to Green on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.